Petersfield Community Radio.
It's Friday the 8th of May, and today we celebrate the 75th anniversary of Victory in Europe Day, VE Day. Here in Petersfield, as elsewhere, plans for street parties, music and events were drawn up only to be cancelled because of the current restrictions. But we're not going to let that stop us. I'm Alastair Stewart, and in this special programme we'll hear a young soldier's reflections on VE Day from his 1945 posting in Germany.
We listened in a group around our 38 set, thinking of what you were doing at home and wishing we could see you waiting for the unexpected news. Now, we only had the Japs to deal with.
Ryan Watts from Petersfield Museum unearthed secrets of the town's wartime past.
After a school assembly, pupils from Church's College marched arm in arm up the high street, around the town and back to the square, singing the whole time, before decking out the statue of King William III in the town's square with their school ties and scarves.
The Reverend Will Hughes offers prayers and reflections. We'll hear messages from our local council leaders, and there's music too. You'll hear the last post played at the High Street War Memorial and a famous wartime song that we can all join in with.
We'll meet again. Don't know where. Don't know where.
But first, what was the context for VE Day? Susie Wilde joins me now to look back at the world and Petersfield's place in it 75 years ago.
Nazi Germany surrendered unconditionally on the 8th of May 1945. It was a Tuesday. It meant an end to nearly 6 years of the Second World War, a war that had brought death and destruction to the lives of millions, destroyed homes, families and cities throughout Europe and beyond, and brought huge suffering to so many around the world.
The announcement that the European theatre had ended was broadcast late in the day on Monday the 7th of May. The BBC interrupted its scheduled programming with a newsflash announcing that Victory in Europe Day would be celebrated the following day, which was to be a national holiday.
Newspapers ran the headlines as soon as they could, and special editions were printed to carry the long-awaited announcement. The news spread like wildfire around the globe.
Many had mixed emotions. People mourned the many who had been killed at home and overseas, and continued to worry about those still fighting in the war against Japan that would continue for another 3 months.
But there was also huge excitement that the war with Germany was finally over. Church bells rang, there were street parties, dancing and singing, flags and bunting everywhere. Even though it would be a long time before things were back to normal, there was no doubt it was party time.
There was no shortage of places in the town to buy celebration drink. In 1945, there were 16 pubs in Petersfield, and there was still a brewery in the town. Little John Bathrooms now occupies the remaining building of what was then Amy's, or the Borough Brewery.
Some still familiar pubs were open back then. The Cricketers, the Old Drum, Petersfield's oldest inn, of course, the George, the Good Intent, the Half Moon, the Harrow, the Queen's Head, the Red Lion, the Royal Oak, now the Black Sheep, the Seven Stars, and the Square Brewery.
But others are no more. Maybe you remember some of these. The Crown on the corner of Sussex Road and Dragon Street, where the Taxico garage now sits. The Jolly Sailor by the roundabout on the Causeway, which is now housing. The Market Inn in the corner of the square, now the Jules Clothes Shop. The Railway Hotel on the corner of Station Approach, which is now flats. The Welcome Inn in Station Road, opposite the White Rose Garage, now also flats. And the White Hart in College Street, which was converted to housing only a few years ago.
The Folly in College Street was a garage in 1945. The townhouse in the High Street was a jeweller, and the American Tap Bar in Charles Street was an auction house.
There was a huge amount of military activity in and around Petersfield during the Second World War. And in the evenings, townsfolk were joined by troops of all nationalities, especially Canadians, who were either stationed in and around the town or travelled to Petersfield from Borden, Bramshot and HMS Mercury, the shore establishment near East Meon. For those who didn't want to drink or weren't allowed alcohol, there was the Home from Home canteen, located alongside the Red Lion on what is now the small garden on the corner of Torway by the pedestrian crossing. So yes, today is a day on which we will pause to remember, but it's also one which we will celebrate. For a further insight into the Second World War on VE Day in Petersfield, let's dig into the archives now with Ryan Watts from Petersfield Museum.
At 3 p.m. on Tuesday, May the 8th, 1945, Prime Minister Winston Churchill announced to the nation the unconditional surrender of the Nazis and victory in Europe. It marked the end of 6 years of war that had cost the lives of millions, destroyed homes, families and cities, and had brought great suffering to the population of entire countries. Today, we know this day as VE Day. Despite VE Day being celebrated on the 8th of May, the official announcement that the war had ended actually came the day previous, on the 7th, late in the day, when the BBC interrupted its scheduled programming with a newsflash announcing the end of the war and that Victory in Europe Day would be a national holiday and would take place the following day, on the 8th. As I'm sure we can all imagine, millions of people rejoiced at the news, with towns and cities across the nation marking the victory with street parties, dancing and singing. And Petersfield was no exception to this. The residents of Petersfield, like other towns, villages and cities across the country, began making preparations for the celebrations to come. Flags and bunting were hung so that by the morning of the 8th, shops, streets and houses were festooned in red, white and blue. In fact, special dispensation was given for red, white and blue fabric to be removed from rationing for the making of bunting for the celebrations. On the 8th, food shops closed at lunchtime as everyone thronged into the town to celebrate, along with a good number of service personnel in the town. After a school assembly, pupils from churches, college marched arm in arm up the high street, around the town and back to the square, singing the whole time, before decking out the statue of King William III in the town's square with their school ties and scarves. The celebrations took all forms over the next week or so. Some were organised, like Thanksgiving services at churches, dances and concerts, while others were more impromptu, such as when the Windsor Rhythm Kings, the Emmanuel School jazz band, installed themselves on top of the air raid shelter in front of St Peter's Church. They hung coloured lights between the shelter and the statue, which has been described as wearing unconventional headgear at the time, and began playing. It did not take long for a crowd to gather and for people to start dancing, which carried on well into the night. The Emmanuel School had been evacuated to Petersfield from Battersea in 1939. Their pupils were just some of over 1,000 evacuees who came to call Petersfield home during the war. The pupils took full advantage of their merriment caused by their impromptu concert and started a collection to raise an endowment for a bed at Petersfield Hospital to commemorate their association with the town. They raised £500, the equivalent of almost £22,000 today. Street parties were held around the town, including Madeline Road, where an afternoon of games was organised in the road, followed by tea for 70 children and adults, which was served on tables adorned with flags and other trimmings. A similar event was held for the residents of Highland and Tilmore Roads, with a procession headed by the 1st Petersfield Boys Brigade Bugle Band, leading about 80 children to a sports afternoon at the girls' high school playing field. Despite the end of the war, rationing of food and other goods was still in place, and these parties and celebrations were only made available by people coming together and pooling their resources. The Home Away From Home canteen, situated in what is now the Festival Hall car park, was set up to help overseas service personnel feel at home during the war. Over the 8th and 9th of May, they served over 2,500 meals to all members of the services and held a celebration dance in the evening. There were at least four more dances held across the town over the next week, with dancing going on late into the night. The climax of all the victory celebrations in Petersfield was a gigantic tea party for children aged between 5 and 14 held at the town hall. Nearly 700 children attended the party in a hall bedecked and beflagged, which included, along with the tea, singing, a conjurer and a farewell bar of chocolate for every child donated by an anonymous donor. Not everyone celebrated VE Day. For those who had lost loved ones in the conflict, it was a time for reflection. Amidst the parties and celebrations, many people mourned the deaths of friends and family, or worried about those still serving overseas. Although victory in Europe was assured, the war in the Far East against the Japanese still raged on, with the British service men and women still locked in combat. It would not be until the 15th of August, the VJ Day, or Victory Over Japan Day, would mark the end of the Second World War. Today, the names of 53 individuals who lost their lives during the conflict adorn the town's war memorial. On this, the 75th anniversary of victory in Europe and the eventual end of the war, Petersfield Museum joins you in remembering those who sacrificed so much for our today.
That was Ryan Watts, Petersfield Museum's Education and Outreach Officer. You can learn more about Petersfield Museum and the history of Petersfield by visiting the museum's website, petersfieldmuseum.co.uk, or following them on social media. We're lucky now to have a rare and precious perspective on the Second World War from the pen of Private Ken Ruddock. Ken was the father of Petersfield resident Jan Wellsman and served with the Lincolnshire Regiment. He was little more than a boy when he was first called up for service, and like any young lad, he missed his family. He wrote to them regularly between 1944 and 1947, and those letters survive to today. Ken sadly died recently, aged 93, in a Petersfield nursing home. For Petersfield Community Radio, his daughter Jan spoke about her father and his writing with her husband, John.
My dad was 93, and he was very unwell last year. And so we were very worried about him and needed him to move nearer to us. So we were lucky enough to find a nursing home, and we moved him to Petersfield with us, enabling me to see him very often. Sadly for me and him, he passed away in February, which meant that I needed to go through all of his belongings, a very difficult task. But I had a really interesting time because I found so much information and history all about him.
And the history talks about the Second World War and his part he played in that. Do you want to tell me something about that leading up to victory in Europe?
Yep, he started off as a senior messenger boy for the ARP. He did that for a few years when he was 13 until he joined up. He was passing messages between the Home Guards in the area, and his father was a private there, so he was keen to do his bit. And then he was called up as a private in the army on the 26th of June 1944. And he was posted to the 1st Battalion of the Royal Norfolk Regiment. I managed to find this out by ploughing through his letters, and then I found a book called Thank God and the Infantry by John Lincoln, and it's all about the 1st Battalion of the Royal Norfolk Regiment, which is the regiment that my dad joined. So that was fantastic.
And you said that the book made reference to the regiment and where they were and what they were doing when the ceasefire was called on the 5th of May. Do you want to tell us what the book says?
Yeah, I found a passage and it says, at the company headquarters, a message was received over the field telephone and it read, cancel all offensive ops forthwith and cease fire. 0800 hours, 5th of May, 1945. This message was passed to the CO, who told the companies they could have reveille and breakfast when they pleased, and that there would be no parade during the morning. The drum major sounded out the ceasefire on a bugle kept for that purpose. So I'm thinking, this sort of makes me feel, gosh, if only he could have seen this book, it would have been wonderful, because this is what happened while he was there.
And then looking back through his letters, which you'd been archiving for him over the last few years, you found letters from a period including the 5th of May through 15th of May. Do you want to read those letters to us?
Yes, these were to his mum and dad. He was very careful about what he actually said, so there's nothing unpleasant in there, because he didn't want her upset and worried. So the 5th of May, 1945. Dear Mum and Dad, last night I wrote a letter to you, little thinking that about an hour later, after I'd written it and handed it in, the news that the German forces had surrendered to General, or should I say Field Marshal Monty. Of course, we could not believe it at first, so our wireless operator tuned in to the 9 o'clock news and we listened in a group around our 38 set, thinking of what you were doing at home and wishing we could see you waiting for the unexpected news. Now, we only had the Japs to deal with, but I don't think I'll be going out there as we still have a job to do here. Now, don't get worrying, it's only occupation, so I'm very fortunate in being out here. There's one thing that you won't get any more of, the V1s or the V2s now. So till I see you, which won't be very long now, love to you all, and here's to the fall of the German fascists, Ken. Then the next letter is on the 10th of the 5th, 45. I received your letter dated 6th of the 5th, 45, yesterday. Well, now this bit of bother is over out here. We're getting back to peacetime soldering. So, will you include a tin of Dunaglit in the next parcel? By the way, I haven't received the parcel or either of the photos yet, but I'll get them in time. I still get the Surrey Times, all right. I'm glad to hear that the children, the refugees, are going home. I don't see any reason why Ivan should not stay with us and go home weekends. I'd like him to if it's possible. I was picked out to go to the pictures and we saw one of Lupino Lane's pictures. It was an old one, but it made a change. Love to all, Ken.
He mentions Ivan in the letter. Who's Ivan?
Ivan was a refugee that his mum took in and they grew up together, both of them in their teens. Ivan was younger than my dad and they grew very, very close, like brothers. So that is why he didn't really want him to go back home. That was the thing with refugee children. They were away from their home so long that if they liked it where they were, it was, some of them, it was through their very formative years. It was hard to go back, which must have been very difficult for them. But yes, Dad kept in strong contact with Ivan all of his life.
So let's read the last letter now from the 15th of May.
15th of May, 45. Dear Mum and Dad, I received your letter dated the 9th of the 5th, 45, this morning, as I'd just come off guard. I'm having a bit of a rest till dinner time comes. I'm glad to hear that you've been enjoying yourselves. I wish I could be over there, but we'll make up for it when I come home. It won't be long now. You asked me if I celebrated. Well, apart from there being a double issue of rum for those who wanted it, we carried on as usual and thought of home. I believe a lot of lads were homesick for the first time since they'd come out here, and they did not show much excitement. One of the lads simply said he was glad that there'd be no more V-bombs or rockets on England and that his people were safe. One of the lads played the last post on his bugle, and a few hours later, everything was as if nothing had happened. I told you I received your parcel, all right? Just to think, Ivan is 16, time flies, and I shall be 19 soon. Love to all, Ken.
And you found his discharge papers. Do you want to read what it says on that?
Yeah, I'm really proud of my dad, really. It's on the release certificate. It says that his military service was very good. He was a clean and tidy man who was a good, steady worker. He was honest, sober and most reliable. So, good old dad.
And if you'd like to find out more about Ken Ruddock's story, then you can read his letters and see pictures from his time in the regiment at thelincolnshireregiment.org. Now let's hear from Councillor Leslie Farrow, the Mayor of Petersfield, who has this special message for today.
We come together to celebrate the 75th anniversary of the day that the Germans surrendered and World War II ended in Europe. On June the 6th last year, I stood on Omaha Beach in Normandy on the 75th anniversary of D-Day when British, American and Canadian troops, under the command of General Eisenhower, some 158,000 troops in all, came ashore in Normandy. All around me in that day were relatives from many different countries of the men who had taken part in this operation. Now, 11 months later, we celebrate the anniversary of the culmination of that invasion, when, as Churchill said, we and our allies fought our way across Europe against the most tremendous military power that the world had ever seen. Many of you will be part of the armed forces community, even if you haven't served. But if you're part of a forces family, you will be aware of the unique nature of military service. This is apparent in the increased numbers we get in Petersfield next to the War Memorial on Remembrance Sunday. Today, we remember members of the Armed Forces and Merchant Navy from many countries who gave their lives and returned home injured in body and mind. We also remember the people left at home, the hard-working men and women who worked in factories, mines, shipyards and farms. The ARP wardens, police, doctors, nurses, firemen and local defence volunteers and the many others who supported the war effort. We also remember now those who are in our armed forces and National Health Service, and our key workers who have given so much for their country.
Thank you, Leslie. And the leader of East Hampshire District Council, Councillor Keith Budden, would also like to share a few words with you.
It is my proud role to be able to pass on to you the warmest best wishes from the councillors and staff of East Hampshire District Council on today, the 75th anniversary of VE Day. It was, of course, our intention originally that today's celebration would be held in person, but due to the coronavirus, we're obviously not able to do that. But in putting together the words for today, I was very much drawn to the famous song, We'll Meet Again, and particularly the first line, We'll Meet Again, Don't Know Where, Don't Know When, because I'm sure that for many of us who've been forced out of our normal working environments by the coronavirus, that we can really echo with those sentiments this year, perhaps more than ever. But that detracts nothing from, of course, the historical significance of today, that we celebrate and remember the freedom which we all gained on that day back in 1945, when the Second World War finally came to an end in Europe. And, of course, that in relative terms, we've had relatively 75 years of peace since then in Western Europe, and we all need to be deeply thankful for that. And it's right that we look back with pride on that generation and what they did for us, what they gave up for us, that we are able to enjoy the world that we have now. But I'd like to think that given the difficult circumstances we all find ourselves in at the moment with this wretched virus, that somewhere up there, they're all looking down on us and they're proud of us right now.
Councillor Keith Budden there. Still to come, the time-honoured sound of The Last Post, played in its traditional local setting at Petersfield War Memorial, and a musical treat which may bring back a few memories for some. But first, prayers and a reflection on the day from the Reverend Will Hughes, Vicar of St Peter's Church.
We had hoped to mark this day in a different way. We'd hoped that there would be cream teas and bunting. We'd hoped that there would be bagpipes from the top of the church tower, that we would all gather in the town square, that we would celebrate this anniversary together. But now we're doing it differently, because now we are involved in our own time of conflict, of travail, of struggle, our own time of requiring courage and commitment. That does not mean we're not going to celebrate VE Day. It still is a cause for celebration that 75 years ago today, that war came to an end. The requirement for people to put their lives on the line in conflict stopped, and the peace began. So we celebrate in a different way. They did not plan the VE Day celebrations in 1939 or even in 1944. They did what they needed to, day by day. They worked for the outcome they hoped for and longed for. They hoped, they prayed, they worked, they struggled. And by God's grace, they came to the end. There is plenty of uncertainty now and plenty to fear. But it is not unusual for us to be stuck in this situation, uncertain of how it will end. That is the norm. That is the reality for anyone who finds themselves in an extraordinary time like this one. So we hope. We hope with a confidence of the love of God for us. We hope with a confidence in our leaders, in those who care for us, in the NHS, in the government. We hope with a confidence in our neighbours and those around us who, through their acts of dedication and staying in and doing the work that needs to be done, will, with us, take us through this strange and difficult time. So we pray. We pray with thanks for the ending of the war in Europe 75 years ago. We pray for those who gave their lives for it. And we pray for ourselves, now and today.
The Pipes, played for us by Daniel Del Piccolo. And before him you heard The Last Post, played at Petersfield War Memorial by Steve Field, Company Sergeant Major for Petersfield Salvation Army. Our programme is drawing to a close now, but the Town Council will release a video to mark the occasion at 2:30 today, Friday. The video includes much more from Will Hughes and some of the other people you've heard in this programme, plus some beautiful images of Petersfield in lockdown and in more normal times. You can see it on the Petersfield Town Council website. We'd like to thank Councillor James Dean, who led Petersfield's 75th anniversary planning, Chris Pellett at Churches College for compiling the contributions from the Reverend Will Hughes, Steve Field, Daniel Del Piccolo, Leslie Farrow and Keith Budden. We'd also like to thank Ryan Watts, John and Jan Wellsman and Bill Gosney, who helped us research this programme. This programme was edited and produced by volunteers from Petersfield Community Radio. Thank you for making us part of your VE Day celebration. Dame Vera Lynn would lift spirits and morale repeatedly during the war by singing We'll Meet Again. Dame Vera may be 103 years old now, but today her most famous song still resonates across Petersfield thanks to young Alice Farrow.
We'll meet again. Don't know. They'll be happy.
Hello, I'm Hugh Bonneville, and if you want to keep in touch with everything that's happening in and around Petersfield, the team at Petersfield Community Radio is here to help. The Daily Morning Report is full of essential local information, and the P-Pod brings you personalities and real human stories every week. Find them all at petersfieldradio.uk.